Today, I want to read some verses of Scripture found in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Peter says, Given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love, and to brotherly love, kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still speaking about the church that our Lord Jesus Christ is building. He is building a church that is a welcoming church, a church that extends their hand of welcome to anyone. When our church becomes a church where the drug addict knows that he can walk into and we will put our arms around him and pray with him, help him get clean and live free before the Lord, our church will be the church that the Lord is building. But is doing such risky? There's always the risk of offending someone's standard. Some would think that, heaven forbid, that they should hang around and become a part of our youth group. And if they continued to attend, they wouldn't want their children involved with kids like that. The examples are plentiful. How would most churches respond today if a group of prostitutes slid in and sat on the back pews? Of course, the back pews would already have been filled by the faithful and early coming church members, so they would probably have to go down further towards the front. Here's another one to consider. How would most churches respond if a group of homosexual men started coming and sitting together because they wanted to find out more about God? And what if a bunch of drunkards, with the smell of alcohol on their breath, decided to venture in to most of the churches in America today? How would the church people respond? Would they treat them with such contempt and keep them at such arm's length that they would never come back? Or, if they are persistent, just be up front and let them know that this place is for respectable people. What if, instead of that, we did something risky and made those crushed and hurting and the cast off welcome? What would happen? Would they disrupt? Not fit into our routine? Create an occasional disturbance? Probably. But they might also escape hell and enter the kingdom of heaven because we made our church a place of welcome. What we desperately need is to do what we always said for so long that we wanted to do. Become more like Jesus. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ in this matter? He welcomed any and all who would come to him. The most incorrigible, the incurable, even the insane were welcome around Jesus. We need to develop that same mindset. We need to renew our minds, our attitude towards those that Jesus wants to reach is reached. That's the kind of church he wants us to become. That's the kind of church that men and women who are hungry for the presence of God want to join. I want to become more like him, don't you? One of the things that distinguished Jesus from the other religious teachers of his day was the lunch crowd that he hung out with. He ate with his lunch bunch, far beneath the good people of his day, yet these were the ones that Jesus reached out to. They were also the ones most responsive. Many churches are loyal today. They open their doors every Sunday. They have a Sunday school, have a youth program. They have a ladies' ministry, and even a men's ministry. But aside from these busy activities, there is nothing happening in the Spirit. No one is getting saved. No one is ever filled with the Holy Spirit. No one gets healed or changed by the power of God. Many churches today are much like the large steam engine locomotive in one of the museums in Michigan. Mounted beside this huge piece of machinery is a plaque that reveals that 96% of the power generated by this massive steam engine was used in moving the locomotive itself. Only 4% of the power generated was used to pull the load. What a picture of many of our modern churches today. 96% of all that we do is just to keep us going, the saints that is. Only 4% of our efforts constitutes pulling others into the field. If we are not careful, we will all fall into a terrible trap. It's a deceptive and deadly trap. The trap, it is subtle but debilitating practice of striving so hard to please ourselves that we create such a monster of debt and embed programs that we have nothing left with which to reach out to the lost. I believe the church at Sardis had fallen prey to this same situation. Remember what Jesus had said to them? He could, in all likelihood, say the very same things to many churches today. He said, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. The people in the Sardis church had many things going for them. Unfortunately, being led by the Spirit of God was not one of them. For most of us, the problem is not desiring the Holy Spirit to lead us. It is our resistance to any change that the Holy Spirit would bring to our deeply entrenched patterns of actions. If you want to follow the Holy Spirit, you must be willing to change. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I'm going to be back tomorrow with more on this same subject of the church that God is building. But I want to remind you that even though God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost never changes their attributes, their integrity, their righteousness and holiness, yet many times they change in their method of doing things. I remember when God's people were thirsty in the desert, he told his servant to smite the rock and it would bring forth water. And at another time, when the people were thirsty and had no water, he told his servant to speak to the rock and the rock would give forth his water. I recall the story of when the water was bitter. God told his servant to cut down a tree and put in the water, and the water became sweet. Another time in Jericho, when the water was not fit to drink, God told his servant to cast a sack of salt at the source of the spring, and the water became good water. God has many ways to meet your need. Just trust Him.